Again, my name is Neil Sundgren. If you've just joined this webinar to speak with our guest, Brad Crimmon from Field Plastics, we're going to be talking about the topic of purchasing software and on how to make the right choice for your business. Brad is currently IT manager at WL Plastics, which is the premier North American manufacturer of high-performance density, high-density polyethylene pipe. Before becoming an IT manager, Brad was quality manager at the company's manufacturing facility in Cedar City. Brad later transitioned over to IT after joining the ERP implementation project team, which he led as a project manager and system administrator. More than 15 years of experience, both in quality and IT, he's very qualified to talk about how to align business and IT, which is the main focus for today. All right, great. So we're going to get rolling. I would like to start with the first question. I want to start, have this conversation sort of top down with Brad. So Brad, tell us a little bit about how you came to the decision or how the organization came to the decision of actually wanting to purchase a QMS. So what problems were you experiencing, assuming you were experiencing problems? What problems were you looking to solve? And yeah, sort of lead us through that approach.
Sure. Thanks, Niels. I think, you know, looking back at the project and kind of what kicked it off for us is we identified, you know, as a lot of companies do, as we're growing, you know, we're expanding, adding manufacturing facilities, that a lot of our process was kind of disparate, kind of disjointed across the organization. And we really, you know, had the need to standardize and kind of focus the data that we were collecting. Mm-hmm. A lot of our process, especially on the quality side of things, there was still a lot of manual process involved, a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of, I think we moved past, you know, kind of handwritten, you know, quality records at that point, but, you know, just a lot of disparate systems, you know, a lot of the different equipment that you use in the laboratory might have its own system for collecting, you know, test results and such. So we knew that we needed to, you know, kind of standardize and consolidate a lot of those systems into one place. So that was the main challenge that we were kind of focused on solving with this project.
Sure. Yeah, that makes total sense. So you had kind of gone past the digitization phase. Most information was in digital form somewhere or other, but it was spread out throughout the organization in different locations, different systems, different formats. And so, which is something that we see a lot, actually. I'd guesstimate, you know, just based on my personal experience and, you know, speaking to maybe hundreds of manufacturers each year, that probably 70% of all companies that I speak to have that same experience. Actually, and a lot of companies have very good mature processes. Like they deliver good quality and have robust processes, but they're just unable to leverage the data that they actually do have and own because it's, like you said, spread out throughout the organization and basically becomes unusable.
Yep.
Was this, who initiated this search for a QMS, Brad? Was it you? Was it the business? Was it senior leadership? I mean, was it a sort of a grassroots movement from the bottom up or coming from the business need, or was it more of a top-down thing?
I would say that the need kind of came from the business, from the quality department originally. You know, it was, I think that they realized that they weren't getting what they needed from, you know, to meet the different regulations. So we are, well, I guess it's not really so much regulations. We're an ISO 9001 registered company. You know, so there are certain, you know, commitments that you make, you know, in that process. So I think that the business and the quality team specifically kind of identified that they needed to do something a little different. Mm-hmm. But when it came to, you know, really deciding that it was a software solution that was needed, that really came more top down from the IT department or from, you know, myself primarily. But I would say there's a fair bit of collaboration between us. You know, I've worked a long time with our corporate quality director, so we had pretty good communication, and I was aware of a lot of the needs. So it was really a collaborative, you know, kind of initiation to searching for a new platform. We were already using another piece of software to try and do what we were just talking about with, you know, standardizing and collecting in more of a central location, you know, the process data and such. But we ran into a lot of challenges with that system. We'd been using it for a number of years. So we were kind of aware of some of the challenges that we needed to solve. So, but yeah, it was a collaboration. But when it came to selecting the software, that was kind of handed over to us in the IT department.
Right. Tell me a little bit about your mandate, Brad, as head of IT for, you know, a large company like this. Do you see your role? I mean, obviously your IT department has its own agendas, but do you see your role as sort of a supporting leadership role towards the business? Like, do you go looking for initiatives that could help the business, you know, be more efficient, more effective? And is that how that sort of came to mind, this initiative?
Yeah, I mean, so I would say our role in the IT department, you know, our mandate, you know, from the company, from the business, is really to, you know, there's kind of a lot that goes into that, right? So the current economic, you know, scenarios, you know, for the past few years, you know, there's a lot of cost-cutting initiatives. There are a lot of, you know, standardization, efficiency mandates, you know, but for us and for me specifically, you know, I really kind of hate inefficiency, right? You know, we're really big on continuous improvement as well. I'm one of those type of people who I'm really kind of never satisfied with just doing the same thing over and over, just because, you know, that's just the way you do it. And so, you know, from me specifically, I'm always trying to look to improve. And IT, by its very nature, is a support role, right? We're cross-functional. We support the entire business, whether it's, you know, desktop support, application support, you know, integration services, all those different things. So first and foremost, you know, I view my role as support. And so I'm always trying to look to see how we can better help the people, you know, that, you know, it's, and I think you and I discussed this in the past in our project, but one of the things that was pretty key for me in this project is the end user experience. Because we hire people to do a specific job, right? So you hire a quality technician or a quality, you know, the quality personnel to ensure, you know, the quality practices of your operations, not necessarily to be a data entry person. You know, so user experience and, you know, their efficiency is really kind of, you know, what I would say was really one of the driving criteria in a project like this. So I hope that answered your question. I think I may answer a little bit, but
very much. So tell us a little bit about the business, the stakeholder landscape of your project, right? There's you, the IT, sort of looking on the lookout for opportunities for improvement, sort of with a continuous improvement mindset. You're seeing inefficiencies as a result of this distributed data landscape in your organization. Which departments were you serving with this project? You know, which teams or projects were you serving with this this project? And then also tell us what the role was of senior leadership, executive leadership, in getting this kind of business case approved. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So this project really started off as primarily a quality project. You know, that was the, you know, when it was kind of handed over to me and to my department to start looking for the technology solution, you know, I started out looking primarily for a, you know, a QMS. And I kind of found early on that, you know, quality, you know, the quality systems that are out there were probably a bit overkill for us. You know, we're, our quality department and our quality process is pretty much strictly internal. We hardly do any sort of external testing. We'll do a few things here and there if a customer sends in a sample or something to us to, to validate or, you know, to investigate. But you know, the vast majority of what we do is internal quality assurance. So like I said, started out quality only, but as I started going through it, and especially when I first saw Alice QI, everything kind of pivoted, you know, early on in the project to, we saw that there was some capability to incorporate the SH&E, you know, functions as well. So, you know, from a stakeholder perspective, you know, like I said, it started out quality. So it was the corporate quality director and a couple of key personnel from the quality team. But real early into the process, we started to engage our safety team, our corporate safety director, and our we have a couple of corporate safety professionals as well as at the plant levels. So that was kind of the business side of the stakeholder group. And then from the senior leadership, you know, we had the VP of operations, and then we have a director of quality and engineering that was involved early on. But their role was really more of, you know, just receiving information about what we're doing. We've kind of already gotten a little bit of a green light to pursue something.
And then tell us a little bit about the approval process, like how you built your case and who needed to approve, and mm-hmm. and you know, was it a tough sell? Did you have to really sell it, or was it a, you know, kind of a shoe-in?
Yeah, so from early on, it was looking like it was going to be a fairly tough sell, you know, just from a quality standpoint. Because, you know, I imagine that our business is kind of like a lot of others where quality is more of kind of a baked in cost, right? You know, you don't generate revenue from the quality department directly. So we knew it was going to be a little bit of a challenge, especially since we already had a piece of software, you know, so the questions are, why can't we just continue to use that? You know, what are the opportunities to improve upon that? So that was, I would say that was probably the most effort that we put in, was trying to make that business case why we needed to switch. But I think for us, the thing that pushed, especially with the Alice QI platform, over the edge for us, was when we identified early on that we could do more with the safety process as well. Mm-hmm. So once we identified that, and we tailored some of the demos to the different teams, that was really the main selling point, is that it was more than just quality. This could be a piece of software that could span a lot more of the business. So the approval process, you know, we went through multiple demos. We pivoted a couple different times throughout the demo process. But at the end of the day, like I said, it was really identifying and showing that this wasn't just a single process, you know, siloed application. This could be something that we could leverage across the board.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, just from my personal experience, that's definitely something that I recognize, you know, going through this journey with a lot of different prospects and customers, is a lot of times, you know, a requirement is very specific and focused. It starts with that. But as people start to realize that really a QMS is a solution that can support any type of process, really, and sort of that realization that it can be used cross-functionally and lots of different departments, you know, does, I think, is eye-opening for a lot of people, and it does really help our case as well. Just, you know, selfishly speaking, for as a QMS vendor, that point in the process, evaluation process, is usually a very important milestone for us, because that greatly helps the ROI, right? Yeah, now all of a sudden you've expanded from a point solution to a broader solution that can help many different teams.
Yeah, one thing real quick I would add to that is, you know, kind of on the topic, you know, with the collaboration between IT and the rest of the business, I think that's one of the benefits, and I don't know, you know, what the landscape is for a lot of your other customers or prospects that might be on this call. But one of the things, and having started from the business, you know, side of it, being in the quality department, and then transitioning over to the IT department, I think one of the things that I've noticed and helps me is that IT has a good broad picture of the landscape of the environment. You know, it's real easy when you're in the different departments to, you know, to be kind of pigeonholed on what it is that you work on day to day. So, you know, if you have the opportunity to engage, you know, your IT department in selecting, you know, a piece of software, I think it does provide a valuable perspective on how, you know, how something fits into the broader landscape.
Yeah.
We at least here at my company, we touch so many different pieces of software. So we have a pretty good view on how some of those things fit together. And also the other thing is, you know, no system these days can be completely standalone, you know, so you've got to consider, you know, the integration aspect of, you know, the platform, and the IT department is going to be the best to evaluate that part of it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, that's a good bridge to the next point. Let's sort of work our way down. We now have sort of the business context and the stakeholder context, but now let's sort of move towards the actual functional and technical evaluation of the platform. How did you go about determining your requirements and prioritizing them?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's the hardest part of any, especially a software implementation project. That's real key to making it successful is knowing what you want to happen and having kind of a realistic expectation of what you're going to get out of the system as well. So that, you know, and that in software, that's also a very kind of difficult thing to do because it's really hard to implement software, to trial it, to decide whether or not it's going to fit for you. So right. For us, you know, the main thing that we focused on was, you know, working with the Alice QI team to do some more kind of tailored demos, mm-hmm. You know, and specifically focus on certain things for those demos and for the people in the business that were involved. But once we've made the decision and you know, start going forward, I think we started off with a fairly decent, you know, launching point because we had, like I mentioned, we did have another piece of software. So we did have some process defined, but you know, that is the tough one, is to really identify what it is that you expect.
Yeah.
The more time you can put into that upfront, the better your project is going to go.
Right. And did you have like this big waterfall sort of approach where you did a full sort of analysis of your requirements first and then when to execute that, or did you take a more iterative approach where you pick two or three priorities, go in, configure, go in and then, you know, evaluate, go on to the next three, et cetera?
Yeah, we tried to do more of that big evaluation up front, but you know, it's hard to stick to that, especially because things change throughout the project. It's like everything out there, you know, I'd like to use, you know, references, cultural reference a lot of time when I talk to my colleagues, and it's one of those things, you know, like Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth type of thing. Right. And so it's the same kind of thing when you're going into these things, you think you have a plan and then things change. So you have to be adaptive. So like I said, we tried to start with a kind of a grand plan we were going to stick to, but I think at the end of the day, it really became more iterative. I think we got bigger wins by just implementing things and getting things going. You know, just pick a process that you know you can get going, and right. That also helps with the buy-in and the adoption from the user base. You know, show them some quick wins, show them right. How the system can benefit them. So, yeah, I would say that at the end of the day, it was much more iterative, despite right. our big picture.
Right. Right. Well, it's good to have, I think, a plan, right? And then to your point, but also then be flexible enough to know that, you know, if there's an opportunity right in front of you, you know, to be flexible enough to switch and focus on that. Tell us a little bit about the processes that you're actually automating. Like, so what are you actually automating for which teams and what's the value there?
Yeah, so we started, so originally we went into this looking for a quality solution. We early on realized that our quicker wins were going to come from that the primarily safety process. So right now in the system, we're almost 100% of our safety, of our key safety process is housed in Alice QI now. So we do incident recording observations, and there's a lot of automation in those that if, you know, certain fields are, you know, so in our industry, we have what we call high potential incidents that require a certain type of investigation or follow-up reporting. Anytime something is logged as a high potential, you know, it kicks off, you know, other workflows, you know, notifications, action items, things like that. From the quality standpoint, one of our biggest kind of pain points was on our incoming raw material management. Mm-hmm. You know, we run a version of SAP for our ERP. And so half of the process was being done in there, and then half of the process was being done in this other system. And then there was still some offline management in certain cases as well. That's one of the things that has been a big win for us, is we've gotten that all transitioned into Alice. Mm-hmm. And we can see that full end to end, you know, from the time. So we get all of our raw materials as plastic pellets in, you know, by the rail car. So we have an end-to-end view from when that rail car is shipped to us to when it is offloaded, released back to the rail. And that's something that we didn't have before.
Right, right. So you mentioned almost 100% of the health safety environment processes are automated. How about where are you on the quality side?
I would say on the quality side, we still have quite a bit more work to do. There's a lot more distinct process that, you know, that needs the development. I would say we're probably somewhere in the 70%, you know, complete with that.
Right.
Like I said, I think our big ones are in there, and we've realized a lot of value, especially with that raw material, the incoming raw material management. That's been a big win for our quality department.
Right. Okay. Might be interesting for the attendees to know sort of the size and shape of your organization and the project. Like, how big is WL Plastics? How many production locations are involved? Maybe something about how many people are involved in the project team.
Sure. So we just launched our 10th manufacturing facility in the United States. So we're 100% of our facilities are in the United States. We have roughly 800 employees. We have on-site quality at each one of our facilities, which is anywhere from, you know, 3 to 5 dedicated quality technicians. We have dedicated safety people at each one of our facilities as well. So the overall landscape, and then when it comes to logging incidents and observations, we have kind of that policy that anybody can report, anybody, whether, you know, you're on the shop floor, whether you're a shipping operator, whoever you are, you know, you can, if you see something, say something. So All 800 of our employees do have the ability to log an observation or incident into the Alice QI platform. Mm-hmm. I would say on the regular, we probably have about 100 unique people interacting with the system on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. How many people were on the project team helping you with configuration and sort of SME type roles?
So from the IT side of things, there was myself and one of my team members. And then from the business side, on the quality side, we had about 3 or 4 people. We had our corporate quality director and a couple of our key quality managers from some of the sites. On the safety side, it was really probably only our 2 safety professionals. Your safety people are very busy. It's hard to peel them away from their day-to-day job to help on something like this. So it was a fairly small project team. And then we had a great consultant from Alice that was very helpful throughout the process, you know, gave us a lot of good guidance.
Good, good, great. All right, excellent, good. So tell us about any challenges you might have had and how you overcame them or maybe didn't overcome them. And maybe break it down into like pre-implementation and implementation, if you will.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, our biggest challenge right out of the gate was we lost a couple of key personnel. So our corporate quality director, I think she ended up leaving the company right after we signed, you know, the agreement with Alice QI. So that was a real big kind of hurdle to, you know, pre-implementation hurdle right out of the gate, you know, kind of shuffling around that side of the project team. And I can't lie with that one. That one caused us a lot of delay, you know, because she was very, you know, she'd been with the company for almost 15 years, you know, so a lot of knowledge walked out the door with that one, you know, and a lot of, process ownership and things like that. So that one took a while to kind of adapt to and overcome. I think some of the other challenges that you run into is, you know, kind of going back to my previous statement, you have a big plan and you think, mm-hmm. you know what you need to do, but when you get into it and you really have to, you know, you get into the nuts and bolts of building things out, you realize that, you know, you didn't necessarily have everything maybe figured out that you thought you did.
Right.
So I would say, you know, that's probably one of the other challenges that we worked through originally is, you know, that learning curve with the system, mm-hmm. you know, understanding how you do things. You know, Alice QI works fairly differently than some of our other applications, especially when it's more of a build what you need as opposed to off the shelf, out of the box, you know. So,
right.
you know, there's pros and cons to that. If you have an off the shelf software, you at least know what the direction is, how you have to interact with the system. When it's built as you go, there's a lot of iteration, a lot of rework, you know, to get the process right.
Right. It's a white page, right? You're filling in.
Yep.
All right. Excellent. If you were to step back and look at the project, like how many more ideas do you have that you want to implement in the system? Like, what's your overall percentage complete? Is this now a continuous improvement? Has this kind of gone into like a continuous improvement mode where you're just constantly gathering ideas and implementing them as you go? Or tell us a little bit about where you are.
Yeah. So like I mentioned before, I think I would say we're probably about 70% complete from what I would consider a fully implemented from the quality side. We're nearly there from the SH&E perspective, but the main thing, so from what we've found, so we've been on the platform for I think it's been about 18 to 20 months or so at this point, and from the SH&E side of things, what we find more often now is people's kind of eyes and minds have been opened about what you can do when you start capturing data in things like this. So we've actually gone and implemented and created some simple workflows for things that we didn't actually consider before that weren't being captured digitally. We didn't really know that they were being done per se.
Right.
And so I think that's been a big thing for us is once you get some of this stuff going and you get people working in these systems, you know, they kind of have that aha moment that I can do more. Right. So we've done a lot more with our KPI reporting from safety. That it's been very simple to do since we now have the data in a unified platform. On the quality side, I think the next kind of big thing for us is once we get to the point where we have enough of the data and have, you know, all of the required processes reporting in, is to automate our product certification process. That's still kind of a pain point for the business. There's a lot of manual process because there's so much data that's being required from some of these customers that are in a regulated, you know, industry. We still have a lot of compiling data from different processes, but once those are all in Alice QI, we're confident that we can kind of turn that into a really like a one or two click kind of process because, you know, just of the openness of the platform. You know, we've already done that on the safety side, so we know that it can be done.
Right.
We create anytime that there's an incident or one of these high potential or OSHA recordable type of incident, we're able to do a one click, kind of a one pager synopsis of what happened, which before that was a manual process for our safety coordinators at the facilities. So there are a lot of those types of things. So there's a fair amount of maintenance, you know, kind of maintenance mode for some of the processes, but I think kind of how you said, more continuous improvement, you know, and iterating on what we can do better is probably the mode we're in right now, especially from the SH&E side.
Great. That makes total sense. We have a question that's popped in that I'd like to pass on to you, Brad. So this question is from Beth. Beth asks, what approach or tools have you used to prioritize business needs for a QMS and to ultimately choose the QMS software solution? What were the largest deciding factors? Example, specific quality needs of the system, such as FPA or NCM processes or document control. So delve into sort of the structure, the framework that you use to prioritize and select.
Yeah, I mean, so for us, like I said, most of our requirement is internal requirement. We don't have a whole lot that we need to report out on. You know, so it's internal audit and meeting the ISO. We also have a couple of other industry regulations that we manufacture to. So for us, I wouldn't really say we even had a whole lot of tools to really consolidate and prioritize those needs. There's a lot of what you kind of would call tribal knowledge, right? And what we needed to meet. But I guess the main deciding factors, you know, with going with, you know, the platform was really just the ability to, I guess, kind of make the system work for us. You know, because mm-hmm. I think I mentioned earlier on that we did look at a couple of other QMS systems, but we found that they were really, you know, off the shelf software, that they were really tailored more to, a lot more like external, like a quality laboratory that's doing external testing and things like that. We couldn't really find something that gave us what we needed to control the process. So for us, it was the flexibility part and being able to design something that really captures the process to make it user-friendly for our quality technicians were, I would say, the biggest deciding factor.
Okay. So basically, prioritization of internal needs, right, where safety was sort of the biggest driver and then quality, and then the biggest deciding factor was the flexibility, configurability. Feel free, Beth, to ask follow-up questions. Another question that came in from Mickey is, Brad, can you provide any examples of how you closed gaps? So I'm sure you ran into gaps as you went, right? Things that you wanted to automate but couldn't quite fully automate the way you wanted to, given, you know, system constraints or whatever. Did you change your process to accommodate the system, or did you develop integrations, or did you just take it out of scope altogether? How did you cope with those situations?
Sure. So, I mean, I think that we've done some of everything. I think in a project like this, you find out that you need to adapt your process. There's when you're coming from other kind of off-the-shelf software or from, you know, spreadsheets and manual process, things like that, you know, there's nothing more flexible than a spreadsheet, right, when it comes to capturing data and things like that. So naturally, you do find that we have to adapt some process. So one of the gaps, I think I kind of mentioned this earlier, was with our raw material management. We were doing some parts in different systems, some parts manual. So I think if I'm understanding kind of the question or maybe the direction you want to go with this question, in closing some of the gaps, I think that, you know, with that process, you know, getting it into Alice QI has helped us close some of that gap from a knowledge. We have one place we can go now to see that end to end, what the status is, you'd think it might be hard to lose a rail car. You know, they're pretty big, but we found all the time that we were having a hard time keeping track of these things. So having that all in one place where we can see the rail car has been shipped, especially, you know, for us, we have a lot of material that comes on consignment. So, you know, we don't actually own it quite yet, but it might be on site. So being able to see that status, you know, with the way that we built the process, has been pretty big. That's a pretty big gap closed. Yeah. You talk about system gaps. One of the things that we've struggled a little bit within the Alice QI platform is, you know, since we're a multi-site environment, you know, kind of tailoring, you know, what the individual plants see. You know, not that we have anything that's really confidential, but you want to be able to help people stay focused on their environment, their area. So there have been a few things that we've had to essentially work around because the system isn't necessarily designed to manage it the way that we necessarily need it to, yep, to work. But one of the things that's been really big for us, and this is, I would say this is also something that the IT department can really help to identify the value in, this is that Alice QI is a fairly open platform. We've made use of a lot of the workflows, sending webhooks out from the system, using an integration platform, which I could, you know, if anybody's interested, you know, we can talk more about that offline or, you know, somewhere else. But, you know, the Alice platform is fairly open. We use the APIs pretty regularly. You know, everybody, like, I would say that, you know, one of my roles is to try and divorce the system from relying on Excel, right? Except for, I do really like the ability, you know, with Excel and the openness of the Alice QI platform, is to pull data into Excel. So instead of starting in Excel with capturing the data, it's actually very simple to pull data from Alice QI and use it in Excel as,
right,
as a proper analytical tool or,
right,
you know, and that type of thing. So those are, hopefully that answered some of the question about the gaps and things like that. But those are a couple of examples.
Great. So if I were to summarize, you know, you mentioned a few gaps on the business side that you were able to close with the solution. And then in terms of constraints that Alice QI imposed, you know, I think if I heard you correctly, it's essentially your initial go-to, your primary go-to was using the open nature of the Alice QI platform to, you know, use webhooks to solve the issue outside of Alice QI. Mm-hmm. And there could have been also some process changes as well, some minor process changes to on the business side that allow you to just sort of fit into the Alice QI system. Perfect. And same to you, Mickey, any follow-up questions, please just let us know. Let's talk a little bit about sort of lessons learned. We're about 40 minutes into this talk, so I'd say another, let's say, 10 minutes or so. So let's talk about lessons learned. If you were to do this all over again, Brad, what have you learned from this process, and what kind of advice would you give to attendees of this webinar that would help them avoid any pitfalls or challenges that you might have experienced?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that, so the lessons learned, I would say some of our biggest lessons learned is, I mean, you can't really do it all on your own. Like, the project team is pretty key, and getting the right people on the project team. You know, I mean, we had one, you know, losing our corporate quality director early on. Mm-hmm. That was not really, I guess, probably something that we could control. But as we kind of tried to work through that process and fill that gap, I think in some ways we kind of went our own directions, I guess, from the quality side and from the IT department. You know, we had some good requirements. We tried to start building things out for the business, but, you know, more collaboration and having a more dedicated project team is something that we learned would have sped up our process significantly.
Right.
I mean, that's hard too, especially when you're doing, I mean, we're firmly in kind of the medium enterprise size business. But mm-hmm. we still run pretty lean, you know, when it comes to, you know, the different departments and everything. And everybody's got a day job already, right? And so it's real hard. But that's one thing that we definitely learned and need to continue to learn, is that when you take on a project like this, you really need to dedicate people to it.
Right.
That's a tough one, but.
Right. Well, I can just echo that from my side. Again, from our vantage point as a QMS vendor, luckily, most of our projects go well, but of course, we do have sometimes projects with challenges. And I can say that, you know, sort of the key risks that we always like to manage expectations on prior to starting a project. By far the number one risk is resource allocation. Mm-hmm. Manufacturers tend to be very busy. A lot of times they're managing escalations. People are strapped for time. And so I'd say the number one kind of cause for a project going off the rails from our perspective is just the business not being able to allocate enough time to actually make decisions and, manage change on their side of the house. The technical implementation step, typically, in the grand scheme of things, not the biggest challenge. It's more how do you get the, how do you get the business to weigh in, to buy in, and to adopt. I definitely recognize that one, Brad. Anything else that you would recommend based on your experiences on, how to choose the right platform or how to get the project done successfully?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, selecting the software, everybody's going to have different criteria and things, but once you make that selection, I think the biggest thing for us, especially, on our side, I would put this in the lessons learned is, just do more testing. I mean, that's one of the things that's really hard to do as well, but it's really demoralizing to both the, the people who are the administrators of the system and to the business unit. If you get something wrong, right. If you think you have the requirements down and you build something out and then you find out, as soon as somebody goes in to start using it, that it's not exactly what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. That one's hard to always focus enough on. Right. But that's another lesson we learned is it's better to test early and often, don't wait till the whole process is built, because if you've got, two or three different tables that are relying on each other and something's wrong, that's a lot of rework. So just test that early and often.
There's a follow-up question from Mickey, which I think is really interesting. And it's a broad question, the question is, as part of your implementation, how did it impact your company culture or your operational culture and the changes it brought? So, this question, I think my interpretation is this goes to the heart of change management, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times companies talk about having a culture of quality, fostering a culture of quality. Quality is everybody's responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. So putting in a system, a solution like this is obviously more than just a technical project, right? It's about getting people to see the value, embrace the value, and play their part, right? Some people might actually have to do more work than they previously did. But the benefit for the organization as a whole might be very large if they do that, right? So there's sort of asymmetries also in where the work lies and where the value lies. So all these things sort of have to do with change management. What kind of effects did you see in WL Plastics, and how did you manage it, or how did you get the business managers to manage it for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that this is probably one of those areas where we're still hoping to see more change. I would say we might not have seen enough of it. But I think for us, one of the things that implementing a system like this does and has helped, I guess, maybe more specifically the culture and changes to the business is I do think it helps people to see how the whole business kind of fits together. Hmm. Specifically, a good example of that is one of the things that we've had to change. And I think you're spot on, Niels, with what you've said about how some people aren't always happy with the change because it is asymmetrical. Some people do have to take on a couple more steps or things like that. And that's a challenge that we've had to manage through, especially with, so we're trying to do a little bit more, and it goes hand in hand with our raw material management. But when we record production, our quality team, at least for the short term, has had to take on more of a role of managing the production entry and overseeing that. And there has been a bit of grumbling, from some of the business, in that regard. But I think that, if we've been honest with ourselves with this, it shows us just how interconnected, you know, the different processes are. So I think a lot of our folks have started to realize that, you know, because again, I think I mentioned this earlier too, is it's really easy to get siloed, you know, and we, you know, I struggle with that all the time from the IT department, right? You think about your needs, but implementing something like this where it's spanning quality, safety, health, environmental, you know, and change management, not a specifically a quality or IT thing either, right? That's a business, business process. So I think that's probably the biggest change that we've noticed is, you know, a lot of our people are thinking bigger picture.
That's interesting. Well, one of the things that they, say about change management and about getting people to adopt and embrace change is to help them see the bigger picture, right? To help them see that they are not, you know, that they're a wheel in a bigger machine. And sometimes it helps to see, it helps them to see how what they do impacts something down the line, right? Because it also helps people feel valuable, feel proud about what they do, right? Because they, because it everybody wants to feel like they matter, right? And what they do matters. And so getting that bigger picture out there, I can totally see how that would help. Now, I'm sure you relied on your business partners too to help push down change where necessary. So can you maybe talk a little bit about that? Like sort of you're partnering with the business and, you know, being able to fall back on business leaders to help, you know, push through change.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that's been great. So our safety, corporate safety manager, I'd say has been a huge help on the SH&E side of things, because one of the hardest things about a project, especially when you have an IT department like ours, it's hard to hand things back over to the business. You know, it's, you know, we've been so involved in the process, the selection, the implementation, training, documentation, things like that, and then handing it over. One of the things that's been really helpful for us is we've had our safety director has been real good about, he wants to own it. So we've been able to have a good handoff to him to take it back to the business and, you know, and funnel things through from him. So, you know, establishing that kind of relationship, you know, with those, you know, the different project team members, especially those key ones like that, you know, was pretty big on the, on getting not only the buy-in, but just the successful, you know, running of, you know, of the process now.
Right. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, one last question, and then I think we'll go towards wrap up. Q&A and wrap up. If you were to now step back, you know, you talked at the top of the call about goals that you had for the implementation, right? Essentially, the key one being centralizing data, getting rid of disparate systems. How successful would you consider yourself, and is the value that you were expecting being delivered?
Yeah, I think I would say that we generally have been successful. So again, going back to the best example I can have of that one right off, you know, off the top of my head is that raw material management process. I think we were able to ultimately kill a couple of spreadsheets that, you know, were pretty, you know, widespread use across the company, right, in their different forms and things like that. So, you know, the value there, I think we've realized that value. That's been a great success. I think, you know, it's really hard, I think, to really evaluate ROI, you know, on something like this and really any sort of value that way. But the fact, you know, that we have, you know, like I said, about 100 unique employees every day that are interacting with the system.
Right.
I think that's a good measure of success. You know, we see that people are in there doing things. You know, it's
okay. And are you able to, you know, one of the problems, the downsides of having disparate systems is, you know, you have the data, but it's really hard to get at it. It's hard to consolidate, right? It can be done, but it just takes a lot of work. And what ends up happening is that it doesn't get done, right? Or at least not as often. So Are you leveraging the data that you now have centrally through dashboards and reports, or is that maybe something that is a next step in your in the evolution?
Yeah, definitely. Still, that's still a work in process. That's still kind of a next step from the safety side, since we've been, you know, kind of live and gathering data for a lot longer with those processes. I think we're further down that path. All of our KPIs that are important to the business are generated, you know, through, you know, or at least summarized in a dashboard in the platform. We don't have to go anywhere else to get those. So,
right.
So yeah, so it's that one I think is a good example of where we're able to leverage the data. From the quality standpoint, I think we still have a bit of work to go. And kind of the culmination of that will be that product cert that I mentioned earlier. And I think we're, you know, we're almost there, but right. We're confident. Like I said, we're confident that we can do it because we've seen how it's worked on the safety side, and we know that we've got the data in the system. Right. So it's just a matter of presenting it, right? That's kind of where we're at right now, is figuring out the best way to extract and present.
Perfect. Ed, thanks again for all your good inputs.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right, great. Thank you.